get what you get and you don't fuss a bit.
It doesn't count when you say the one out loud. You have to do it like they do on
the, I didn't say the one out
really
loud.
Big TVs. I heard it.
You didn't. Because I didn't say it.
You said
like No, that. I didn't.
Well, then it came out your nose because that was what I heard.
I think you just thought I said it.
I didn't think one.
Because I have experience. Minor yes, experience, but I have experience.
I like when you do it, though. It's all the 5, 4, 3, 2. And then you point.
See, I stop at 3. I don't even say the 3, 2.
What?
I know. It's 5, 4.
Well, that's obviously you're used to working with people who are way better and, you know, can count down.
Yeah.
I'm not so equipped.
I know. But that's why we do a podcast where no one can see us.
Except on the YouTube channel.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And then they go, oh, boy. Oh, let's go back just to audio only.
Well, for a while, though, too, we were not just on YouTube. We were also on Facebook. But I stopped sending it to Facebook.
I have not been on Facebook personally in years. Seriously.
It's been
3 years anyway.
I try not to be on Facebook. I try. I hate Facebook.
I'm on Instagram. So that said, it's
Facebook Lite.
It kind of is because it's just sort of a quick scroll, and that's really it. I mean, it's not it's not like I have to dive in quick. And when I post stuff, I don't even know how to post. So I'll do I think I swipe to the right, and then I'll take a picture of something or insert something, and that's all I know because I don't ever post.
Did you see what I posted last weekend? You know, that the day that I forgot to post, a Potty Miles episode.
I didn't see what you posted.
You didn't see the video of Peyton swimming?
Oh,
I completely. So I was at the in-laws. So for those of you who have listened to our Craig Church episode, I was at Craig and Mona's house, and Craig's got the pool open and Peyton was of course swimming. And I freaked Craig out because he didn't know that my phone was waterproof.
So you threw it?
No, I didn't throw it. No, what'd I you do? Peyton did dove and I stuck it in and was recording video at the same time. So I've got Peyton swimming underwater and it's got some really fun music. Here, I'll pull it up. I put it on both Instagram and TikTok.
Okay.
And that's awesome. I'm going to do the Instagram one because I like it a little bit better.
That's very cool. How did I miss that?
I don't know.
Apparently it did not bring it up in my suggestions.
Apparently. Wow. See?
Yeah, a little blurry, but oh yeah. Those cool goggles. She has construction goggles on. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Nice.
So
good job, Peyton. Yeah,
completely freaked Craig out. It was fantastic.
What did he say? How did he react? Like,
that's waterproof? I mean, he was really, can I do that with my phone? I'm like, I wouldn't recommend it.
You should have just said, I don't know. I've never tried it before.
That would have
do you
been
have
incredible.
Any advice?
That would have been incredible.
Oh, that's very cool. Well, that was,
I was going to say, you say, do you have any rice right before you do it?
Yes, you're actually thinking before
you,
it through.
Yeah, before you even let him answer. Hey, do you have any rice? Dunk.
It's a good thing he doesn't listen.
Yeah,
because he won't expect it. Well, yeah. He doesn't.
Yeah,
he'd tell us. He would have sent me more barbecue sauce.
That's probably. Do you need some more? I can have him send you some more. I'll have him send some with his deer jerky.
Oh gosh, yeah, I want that too.
Yeah, so I'll let
I'm
him
gonna
know.
Need to put in an order.
Okay. Next
we
time
need
I'm
to get
there.
Him back on too.
We
have
should.
Lots of past guests that things have been busy. I mean, for both of us and
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I'm never
I know.
Busy
because you don't have time to know what I'm talking about. Yeah. But
truth.
That's the way it's been. That's just part of the.
It's usually the springtime. Springtime is always really, really busy.
Yeah,
I was in the last couple of months. This will be the first time that I've been able to have a weekend without anything to worry about from the past week that didn't get done that I need for the next week. I was talking to Jennifer about that, and it's kind of fun. I have a very busy weekend ahead of me, but it's still not stressful because I'm cleaning my closet, I'm power washing the patio, and I'm washing the dogs. And that is all relaxing to me.
Don't get things mixed up because I don't want you to power wash the dogs.
That's funny because that's what I said to somebody earlier. I'm going to power wash the patio and then I'm going to power wash the dogs.
I have to clean the
patio and power wash
power wash the closet.
Yep.
No, that's mm-hmm. not.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
My closet probably needs a power wash at this point.
Well, for you to say, I am going to be busy this weekend because I have to clean my closet. Seriously? Is it that bad?
Oh, yeah.
Do you only have one closet?
I only have one closet.
You're allowed to?
Not that I'm allowed to. Okay. It's just what I have access to. We used to use the one in the guest room, but now we have a permanent guest, so we don't use that one anymore. Yeah. I do have one behind me, but it's full of technology junk and suitcases. Okay. So, yeah, I am relegated to the single closet now.
Well, that's not bad. What size is it? I mean, is
not
it
big.
10 by 10?
No. It's maybe 4 by 6.
Okay. And do you have everything Nick in there?
Nick is in there.
Clothes
and the vacuum. Yep.
And the vacuum. You share it with the vacuum.
Yeah. But I really, a lot of it is I do need to purge. I need to purge my closet as well. There's stuff in there I don't wear anymore. And of course, all my winter stuff is
Seasonal. Now that I'm in a mostly non-seasonal area, do you have winter clothes that you pack, put in the garage or whatever?
I don't pack it. It stays in my closet, but I move it. So I've got a couple of shelves. And so right now, if you walk straight in, it's all winter clothes and all my summer clothes are off. So they're harder to get to. So I'm just going to swap them.
I can't quite get at this.
Well, it's exactly. Well, it's kind of like, one is on the medium shelf where it's reachable and the other ones are on the top shelf that you have to get a step stool to get to. So just swap it and make it easier for you.
And so I feel you because in the rental, my only closet is in this office that I'm in, which is the second bedroom. And it's probably 6 feet wide, but about 3 feet deep.
Mm-hmm.
And you might think, well, that's not too bad. It's all my guitar cases. It's all my guitars.
Yep.
Everything is because there's no storage. We don't have a basement.
Right.
And won't in our new house either, assuming we ever get in there. everything. And so clothes and Lisa's smart. She's got baskets for me. And so I'm like tiptoes to get to the basket to get
instead of pulling the basket down and looking in. Yeah. I understand.
Well, I know what's in it. You have the baskets appropriately categorized. So,
sure.
But it's such a pain in the butt. And then I have a basket with shoes, which includes Harley boots and, so it's like full of everything.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, and I think I have probably 6 winter type shirts that I just pulled out the other day because I needed the hangers.
That's a thing too.
That's it. That's really all I have for winter or cold weather stuff.
Nice,
which is
pared down quite a bit. Yeah, I wouldn't the stuff that I have winter stuff because even some of it I wear in the summer. It's just depending on the time of day, like hoodies. I'd still wear my hoodies in the summer. I just might wear them with shorts on a cold night or something.
Yes, or undies, walking around the house.
What do you think I meant by shorts?
I was afraid of that.
I know. Who wouldn't be? You see it, you're afraid.
Please just don't.
You brought
tidy
it up.
Tidy whities?
No, hell
are
no.
Are you doing tidy
no,
whities?
Me undies. Not a sponsor, but I wish they were.
Honey, have you seen me undies? No, but if you look over to the side, maybe I...
See, I knew you've been listening to the Armchair Expert because that's totally Dax's joke right there.
Oh, is it? Have you seen me
totally,
undies?
Yeah.
Oh, what makes you think he doesn't get it from me?
Well, that's true. We're a very popular podcast.
I know.
We have millions and millions and millions of people who consider maybe kind of thinking about possibly seeing us online.
Later.
Later in life, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Later in life.
Later in life.
When they can't get up.
Or,
how do you turn this crap off?
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's the algorithm in YouTube that allows it to come up. People are putting in interesting topics about flying or interesting topics about traveling. And all
John
of a sudden.
Nick never.
Yeah. And then they have a stroke and they're stuck. All they can do is move their eyeballs and the algorithm just starts serving things up. And right at the end, about when they're about to pass away, the Potty Mouth podcast comes up and plays. And that's what they see on their way out.
I need to live it long enough to spank these boys.
That's right. That's exactly what they say.
I'm not sure that's accurate.
No, it's possible. And that's kind of scary, too. I mean, speaking of spanking.
Yeah, speaking of that, I
did
was
you
hoping
hear
you
in the,
jump on that.
Right. Did you know in the news that John Hinckley Jr.
Yeah.
John Hinckley. Hinckley Jr.? Hinckley Jr.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Anyway, he is getting out of prison.
Yep.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, he is the gentleman who shot President Reagan, and which is why the Hilton in DuPont Circle in Washington, D.C. is now known as, not officially, unofficially known as the Hinckley Hilton, which I have stayed there before. And it's a very interesting place. They've updated it, obviously, but it's still, you know, everything on the outside is basically the same as it was back in the 80s when this happened. So, yep. John Hinckley is about to be set free.
Yeah.
And the reason the spanking comment was is because one of the reasons they say he shot Reagan was because he was trying to impress the the woman he was stalking and wanting to spank. I don't know if that part's true, but it was a stretch to get there.
Yeah, well, it wasn't that big a stretch. I think it was timely though too, because it's one of those things that you kind of go, okay, I guess he's been there for how many
long
years?
Time. I'm 45.
No.
Well, I mean, you think about it. That was the early to mid 80s.
80, yeah.
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 That's a long time.
I don't know. I'm not sure that.
I think it overall is 37, I think is the actual.
I'm not
number.
Sure that he's not going to be stalking people. Probably not
Jodie Foster.
Foster. If I had to bet.
I wonder how she feels about it. We should get her on the podcast.
I'm sure she's available.
I'm sure. Who knows?
I'm not sure. It's possible.
No. But, no. She's actually still working. Unlike us, you know.
Well, that's all right. Hey, we need to work. We cannot.
We do.
So we cannot get away with not working.
Exactly. So you should all support Potty Mouths. Head up to www.pottymouths.com and click on one of those links that pays us. Please, please do that right now.
Do that. That would
right
be
now.
Awesome.
We'll wait for you. Go ahead.
Should we wait?
No, let's go. not that link. That's the wrong link. Hold on. Okay.
You really know our listeners.
Indeed. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I was doing that as a joke, and this other thing was a joke, but we talked about it over the weekend. Did you ever do anything with the old answering machines? Like one of my roommates and I, we changed it a couple of times, and we'd change our answering machine to see how many people we catch. First time we did it, we were like, my roommate's name was Walker. I would go, hello, hello. No, Walker, I think it's for you. And then I'd hand it to him and he'd go, hello, hello. I don't know who this is. Leave a message at the beep. Click.
Wow.
And we get so many. Then the next one we did was the typical, hello. No, he's not here right now. Can I take a message?
Beep. Wow. I've heard the one that, that you do the hello. Speak up. I can't hear you. Hello. Hello.
No,
louder.
Good.
I still can't hear you. And you know, whatever. Oh, come on. Stop yelling. I'm not here. Beep.
Oh, that would be good.
Well, and I remember a radio host in Chicago, and we may have talked about him, Kevin Matthews, who was one of the funniest dudes ever. He had an alter ego on his radio show. And Jim Shorts.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. Jim had, and he would have conversations with him. So Jimmy, what'd you do this weekend? Kev, this weekend I was, and he would just have this ongoing conversation. It was
with himself.
Funny. He also did voices, just great impressions. And I called one time, and it was back 80s, I'm sure, maybe early 90s. And he said, Let's do an answering machine message for you. And he did it as Barney Fife.
Oh, no.
And so I recorded it. And that was my answering machine message for quite a while. It was pretty well, you know, if you leave a message, maybe we'll return it. Then again, maybe not, you know, and that was the whole message. Pretty stupid, but pretty silly.
I love stuff like that. That's the only thing I don't like about cell phones. I mean, you technically probably could, sure, but it's a little bit more obvious when a cell phone answering service picks up versus you picking up. That's the one thing I do miss about traditional answering machines.
there's a little bit of that taking us back in time to the
the good old days,
the fun days. Yes, and Sunday then fun days. I look at gas prices, and it's not the good old days anymore,
is it? Good old days, not at all. I saw.
So tell me about Nashville. What's your current, if you've looked recently?
Well, I haven't really looked at it recently. I think it's like 420, something around that.
We were 475 this morning.
Wow.
I didn't pay it happily because the truck is full, but yeah, with a 36-gallon tank in the truck,
that's
a massive bill when you fill it up. So not that it matters any, but I always, if it's down below 3/4, I better fill it up because it's going to, I'll try and keep it under 100 if I can. And it's ridiculous. So yeah, $4.75 today. Diesel was $5.55.
Jeez.
Today.
You know, in South Florida. This past weekend when we went to Craig and Mona's, so I went to visit some dealers in St. Louis and I took the Jeep. It was, you know, it's actually easier to drive.
When we talked,
And then so I drove the Jeep from there to East Tennessee, which was about a 9.5-hour drive with weather and all the other stuff and meetings that I would pull over and do the meeting and stuff like that. But it's a 9.5-hour drive, which Jeep did great, except it does not get good gas mileage. It really doesn't. It gets better gas mileage. Well, we'll get there. Hold on.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It gets better gas mileage than my old Jeeps. My old Jeeps would average about 12. Maybe I'd get up to 15 if I'm really sensitive about everything. And my Jeep will get roughly 19. It averages 19 once the battery runs out. So I will say over and over again, if you love Jeeps and the Grand Cherokee, the new 4xe Grand Cherokee is going to be the same way. It only gets 25 miles to a charge. If you're just putzing around the city, that's enough. It's kind of like the beginning times of full electric vehicles, you know, when they didn't get very many miles. If you're around town, it's no big deal. You know, if you've got charge points, and I'm not talking necessarily about the company charge point, which that's where I usually charge, but I know, not a sponsor. Ding. But, you know, if you plan your driving right, you never have to fill up. And so, for example, I can drive from here to the airport and then the airport back. Well, from here to the airport and use very, very little gas. It's pretty much electric the whole way. And then I get to the airport, I charge, and I get back home with very little. I might go 2 miles on the gas tank. Mm. So
you leave it on the charger while you're.
Yeah. When I'm at the airport.
Yep. Gone. Yeah.
Yep. So it's really easy. And again, I probably can go the first time I did it, I roughly went 600 miles. Second time I did it, I roughly did 700 miles on a tank. Hmm. But when you're driving a long way and you're actually on the freeway and you're driving it away from home and there's no place to charge and you use up the battery, then you're getting those 19 miles to the gallon and it only gets 298 miles to the tank. So,
well, but let me just say that 19 miles to the gallon from somebody who, and I haven't even checked the F-150 yet, but my old, I've had a couple of Fords, but my Nissan got 15, maybe 16 with a V6.
Yeah.
And it's their pickups, which I like, are just not very good. So 19 sounds, well, that's not that bad.
Yeah. Well, no, and for a Jeep, that's also 700 pounds heavier than a regular Jeep,
right?
With bigger tires, bigger everything, with the suspension the way it is, I'm pretty damn happy with 19 miles to the gallon.
That's not bad.
No.
Yeah. That's not bad. So what did you pay? Do you remember when you filled up?
Every time I filled up, it was around $60.
Oh, jeez. that's for me too, except I'm like putting a quarter of a tank in, and that's about $60.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a big tank. Wow. I mean, they cut a little bit out, not much. They cut a little bit out of the tank for the battery, but it also helps that it's a turbo, it's a 4-cylinder turbo. You know, it's a straight four. It's hard to say because normally Jeeps are straight sixes, but it's a straight four turbo. Mm-hmm. Plus the battery, and the battery never dies. So keep that in mind as well, that it just, the range goes down to zero. And then every time you slow down, it regenerates a little bit. So that's what's helping. So the motors are still going. It's just not giving as much, and you won't drive at 100% electric. So
the question I have, which I think is an amazing question, is
anything you ask me, John, is an amazing question.
Thank you. Thank you. You're just amazed that I can form words. Right. Does it behave like a electric vehicle? So in other words, performance when it's in electric, is it, I mean, boom, fast, 0 to 60?
Well, okay. So yes and no. It is pretty quick, but keep in mind, it's extremely heavy. I mean, we're talking that, how much does your truck, do you know how much your truck weighs?
I don't, I haven't tried to lift it, but it's
pretty heavy. Let me get you the weight.
I would say it's probably 5,000. I mean, it's a half ton pickup, so probably 5,000 pounds, if I had to guess. I can find out. Let's do that.
You do that while I'm looking up my weight, because I don't remember, because I did compare it, because Craig asked the same thing. So a 4xE is about 5,200 pounds.
Okay.
That doesn't seem accurate. Hold on.
Sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say the curb weight, it varies quite a bit. The top it's probably 5,000 pounds. It's 5,697 is the top weight, which would probably be an 8-foot box and so on. So I would guess about 5,000 pounds.
Yeah. I just pulled up an article from Motor Trend, and the 4xE, which is the heaviest, is 261 pounds heavier than a diesel powered unlimited Rubicon, which is a V8. Nope, I'm sorry.
And V6 diesel.
Yeah, it's 200 pounds heavier than the chunky V8 unlimited Rubicon 392.
Okay.
So
chunky.
That's what the chunky V8. Okay. But to answer your question, it is quick. I mean, it does respond like but if you gun it too much, so if you watch that, they don't have a standard tachometer. I'm sorry, they have a tach. And then on the other side, they've got your battery usage. So it either goes negative or it goes positive. So it shows you whether you're using energy or you're charging, right? So if you punch it and you punch it hard enough, even if you're in full electric, it's still going to kick in the gas engine. So it's going to kick in the engine, it's going to kick in the turbos, and it's going to use the electric. So when I say that thing is scary fast for the size and the weight and the wheels and everything, it's scary fast. But it's scary fast because it's using all of it to go really, really fast.
Sure. Sure.
But if you baby it, then yes, it's still quick. It acts like an electric motor, but it's not like a Tesla. You know, you can't floor it and go 0 to 60 in 2 seconds. It's still going to take a while.
But for instance, the F-150 Lightning is for what it is also very fast. Mm-hmm. 0 to 60. I'm sure the Hummer is crazy fast, like it's under 4 seconds, I think, 0 to 60, which is, for that thing is probably 8,000 pounds or more. Yeah.
I would say it's probably that quick, but it's not going to be fully electric that quick. I'm still trying, because I have seen people do it. I don't know how to do it, because in the Jeep, you can choose between full electric, full gas, or hybrid. And I have seen people drag race using the electric, but I don't know.
Really?
He never said the engine, whether or not the engine kicked in or not, because I really don't remember. But it was fast. I mean, he was beating people on the drag strip.
Wow.
But he had also stripped out all the seats, so he only had the driver's seat.
And see, that's what they often do now that they're dragging with Tesla plaids.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really funny.
You got to strip out all the weight anywhere you can.
Well, they do that. And they're so consistent when you see like a plaid versus a plaid on the drag strip.
Yep.
It's milliseconds between them. And so one guy was talking how he says one of the big things is the different wheel covers. that aren't, there are more aerodynamic. I'm going, really? It's come down to, well, yeah, if it's a hundredth of a second, it could be the wheel covers.
100%. Crazy. 100%.
Yeah. But crazy, crazy.
Excuse me. If the back to that tack thing, if it goes up above, because it goes in like 25, 50, 75, 100, and that's those are the markings on there. If you hit the gas and it goes above 50, the gas engine kicks in. Unless you have it.
I mean, can you hear it and feel it kick in?
It's hard to hear. It's very quiet. Okay. But yes, you can. You really can. Okay. But if I have it in fully electric, I think it goes all the way to 75 before the gas engine kicks in.
Got it.
So, and it also, it depends on where you are. You know, that's the other thing too. If you are on flat ground, I've never had completely 100% flat ground. I do know on the freeway, for example, people were talking about the fact that they would be electric power at 80 miles an hour. And I'd never gotten over 70 and been on electric. It always gone to gas, but I'd also been here in Tennessee where it's very hilly.
True.
So I finally did get it in Missouri when I was in flat. I did get it up to 80 on electric only.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's, and it's good. It's kind of interesting to learn about all of that. And the same as with the Tesla, and let's be clear, that's the Plaid is a $120,000 vehicle. So you put it in track mode. You can put it in Plaid mode. Yep. I don't really understand all the differential, but they even have it's drag strip mode.
Yeah.
Which always give you the best times though, which is interesting to me too.
Yeah. And that's the other thing I have to add as kind of a caveat to all of that. The guy that I was talking about, he was drag racing. His 4xe is a Sahara. So he's got pretty much stock everything in that Sahara, whereas mine is a Rubicon. So mine's lifted. Mine's got bigger tires. It has different shocks, and it's got more weight because it's got the rock guards and all of that stuff. So rock rails.
That's probably more insulation, I would think.
Yeah, it does have more insulation. Yeah. Yep.
I would think so. Interesting. Have you looked at the weather today?
It's sunny and about 70 something. Why?
We are experiencing our first, and by the time you listen to this, it will be gone. Our first, tropical depression. It will not become, I think it's safe to say it won't become a hurricane while we're here, at least not this one. They're predicting landfall like right at my house.
Nice.
That's awesome. Saturday morning. But there's no wind yet. We've got no wind. We have nothing but rain.
Well, that's kind of like,
it's not coming down hard. It's like one of those perfect all day rains that we would die for when we're needing some moisture. But that's it. We really don't have any flooding or anything like that. But of course, all the weather places I went to, they were just breathless with anticipation this could be a big rain event, and maybe it still will be.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't want to make it say that it's nothing, but just breathless talking about how, this is going to be, we didn't expect it this early. And, you know,
of course they are. They're
causes for it. But,
you know what? Anyway. I'm a firm believer in under promise and over deliver. And I think weather people, first of all, I say weather people are the only people on earth paid to be wrong. But I also think they have it reversed. I think they overpromise and completely underdeliver.
Well, I think it's become, they have almost, especially at times like this, when you have a storm system coming in, they compete with the 24-hour news cycle.
Yes.
And so suddenly they're up against, you know, everybody else who sensationalizes everything anyway, except they just do it every day. And what's different for these folks is, well, we got some viewers now, because that's where they go when they want to know about the weather. And so I don't blame them. There's some great science behind predicting the weather. And hurricanes aren't as, you don't get as much of that.
Yeah.
You get the tracks, and you get, I mean, historically, this is what it's done. And I don't know. They're not as predictive, I don't think, as you would think they might be. But
which, I hear from people all the time how hurricanes, it's not that big a deal, except for the ones, obviously, that are like major, like tear a whole island out of the sea type of things. But for the most part, a lot of them are very mild, just kind of like, it's kind of like a Midwesterner in tornadoes. You know,
well, yeah,
a tornado
comes where you are.
Exactly. Exactly. which was kind of my point to it's calm right there. Well, calm before the storm. We always know when there's a tornado coming, everything goes silent. Sure everything does. Turns green.
Green and yellow. Ick.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
But anyway, that aside, the one time that bit me in the behind is we were going on vacation. We were going to the Destin area. It wasn't Destin proper, but the Destin area for vacation on a spring break. And we only made it to Birmingham because we had left late. So that was the plan. Go to Birmingham, stay the night, then drive the rest of the way down. And we'd never left Birmingham because the storm got so bad. They canceled our reservation. The hotel called and said, we're canceling because, you know, we might not have a hotel left.
Wow. Do you remember what hurricane it was?
No, I don't. I don't remember, but I do remember. And it came up, it was big enough where it came up into Alabama and came up actually all the way to Nashville. And so it was a very wet, very rainy spring break that we spent at the Aloft Hotel in beautiful, beautiful suburb of Birmingham, Alabama.
Birmingham, Alabama. And I've actually spent a night in Birmingham, and it's not too, a couple nights actually.
It's not horrible in certain parts. Oh.
Yeah, I guess like almost every other city.
Exactly. Now, if there is, I'm not a huge fan. Sorry for those of you who are huge fans of Alabama. I know there are a couple. I'm not a huge Alabama fan. Never would want to live there. I'm nothing against it. I just don't. Just not a huge Alabama fan, except for one city. I would live in Huntsville. I love Huntsville.
Okay.
It's a great little city.
I don't think I've been to Huntsville.
You should go. Huntsville.
I will put it on my to-do list. I just did not know it was a
It's a hopping little town.
Well, tell me about Huntsville. What is it? What makes it?
Let's just put it this way:
different than
NASA.
Birmingham. Okay. Well, Houston is also NASA.
What, I know.
What else?
I don't like Houston though. Sorry, Houstonites.
That's why I was saying. Yeah. That.
No, it's very quaint. It's very cute. It's still small. It's kind of like what Nashville was 15 years ago, you know, big, but still small, and very pretty, lots of good restaurants, lots of cute neighborhoods, very nice people. And it's, just, I don't know. It's, it gives you a good vibe. It's kind of like when you drive into, for me, when I drive into Charleston, South Carolina, it just kind of feels like home, you know, it's just like, oh, I could live here.
Interesting. I'm just, as you know, I have to look at the population. 200,000.
Yeah.
199. Interesting.
Yeah.
Of Huntsville.
And you know what? A lot of, not that this makes any difference, but a lot of engineers and a lot of smart. It's kind of, I like Kingsport for the same reason. Kingsport, Tennessee has, and Johnson City because of Eastman Chemical. Got a lot of engineers, a lot of interesting people, a lot of a great arts district. You know, it's, they just, I don't know. I was having this thought this morning when I woke up. I think it was kind of half a dream, half a thought. Is I appreciate the fact that my dad always used to make fun of me. And I say make fun. It wasn't really necessarily making fun of me, but he would also always say, because I loved big cities. I was born in a small town. My dad and mom were both raised in the city. So they wanted a small town thing. They wanted a farm and stuff like that. Green Acres. He keeps wanting to go out and get further away from people. And, you know, right now, even though he lives on 700 acres and his closest neighbor is like a mile away, there's still too many people. That's the comment. He's always been like that. So he always kind of, I wanted to move to Los Angeles. I wanted to work in the movies. I wanted to make music videos. You know, that's what I wanted to do. And he always say, you don't want to move to California. It's going to fall in the ocean. You know, it's, you know, big cities suck. So, you know, and I always like, no, I want to be a big city. I want to be a city person. Now that I'm getting older and with everything that's going on, we won't get political or judgmental, but everything that's going on, I'm kind of like, I can really see the value of going out into the middle of nowhere and not having anyone around.
It's a lot the, you know, wanting what you don't have.
Yeah.
And, true. And we've lived in both. Big cities, and grew up in a tiny town. And yeah, I'm kind of with your dad on this one, that And as we get older, obviously,
yeah,
much older, you
I mean, I can't even count the number of years. I'm not good at math. I'm not that good at math.
Which is why you're younger.
Right.
So, I appreciate that. And you're right. I think with COVID and everything, it was all, everybody has kind of rethought everything and how it's amazing how the RV industry changed so dramatically.
Yes.
With COVID, prices went through the roof and everybody is suddenly, I mean, campgrounds are sold out because people want to, ooh, we want to be in our own little area.
Yeah.
And
I do want to say though, that you and I were talking about all of this before COVID.
Oh,
I want to say that about getting an RV, about
RV stuff, yes.
RV stuff and, or sailboats or stuff like that. Kind of bothers me now that we've been talking about it and wanting to do it for so long. And then now everyone else is doing it. And if I were to go and do it, they'd like, oh, you're just getting on the bandwagon.
Exactly.
No, I'm not.
I was RV when RV wasn't cool.
Exactly. Just because I never did it doesn't mean I wasn't into it.
Exactly right.
I think that's.
And it was. It was a weird time. So that was not that it has anything to do with it, but Lisa would say that it was when I was first diagnosed with multiple myeloma. And for some reason, the crap they put me on, Velcade and some other, a handful of 13 pills once a week, I was just like, okay, it would be really cool to. And I just got enamored with RVs, whether motorhomes or a fifth wheel. Oh, you know, fifth wheel. Here are the benefits of that. And she's like, "What? What are you talking about?"
Yeah, which is funny because you keep getting bigger in your campers. I keep getting smaller. I'm like, "What's the smallest I can do?" I'm at the point now where I'm talking about buying my own utility trailer that I can pull behind the Jeep, building a contraption on top of it so I can put a rooftop tent and then putting a porta potty in it. And for me to say a porta potty in, you know, just the little, you know, the little cassette potty, for me to say that, you know, I'm getting desperate.
I'm not sure it's desperate.
I couldn't think of another word.
That is the.
You're the worditician.
Because I really have to pee.
Yeah.
I'm
fine with being outside.
That's the big attraction to me, too. That's the big attraction to me with. Pulling a trailer of whatever sort, and I am actually getting a little smaller, but then I see the inside of them and I'm going, oh hell, that's too small.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't have a bathroom in it, I'm out.
Yeah.
What's the point?
No, that's,
I can sleep and
that's
in the bed of the truck. I can, you know.
Yep. Well, that's why I said a long time ago, why not buy a box trailer and just turn it into a really fancy bathroom that you pull with everything else. You just sleep in the back of the car. It's fine. Yes.
It's a huge, you know, my trailer has, it actually has, two bathrooms in it. And, well, where do you sleep? In the front seat. Cause I don't need anything else.
Well,
I have a tent and a cot.
To your point about size too, if it were just Jen and I and the dogs, it'd be, a van would be fine as long as it had a bathroom, but it's, you know, you throw in the preteen, then you got to have a little bit more room. So,
oh, no question. No doubt.
Which, you know, she can go sleep in a tent.
It's right outside. It'd be fine.
Yeah.
See, I love the rugged ones and I really even like the, and you know, probably which ones I'm talking about, not only rugged, but smaller. And with the outdoor kitchen that slides
out. Yes, 100%.
That's some cool stuff.
Yeah. Well, I shared with you the Opus, right?
Yes.
The camper that blows
up.
I
did look at it, and that's very cool.
Yeah, I would love one of those. Here's
but they have a teardrop one that has the back opens up and the kitchen's back. I love that.
I love those too.
That is so cool. I would not love it in the rain.
No.
Probably.
So here's my other, let's call it a dilemma. It's not really a dilemma. Is... when I look at stuff like that, I'm like, okay, you know, a van or a camper that's pulled behind, that would work perfect in Tennessee because it's hot and humid, and Tennessee doesn't have a lot of free camping land, so there's not a lot of opportunities to go. There's no BLM land. There's
BLM,
right. None of that here. You have to leave the state and you have to go west for most of that. There are a few things that are in Kentucky, but you have to go way east to do it. So a camper in a campground is just fine because I don't like putting my tent up at a campground. I just think that's weird. I don't trust it. I'd rather put a tent up in the middle of the woods somewhere. But then I think, okay, where do I like to camp? If I lived out in Colorado, I would much rather have one of those, either a trailer that you could cook out of and then you have the pop-up tent, or literally sleep on the ground. I wouldn't need a camper at that point. The only thing I'd need is the shitter, literally for the shitting part, not for the peeing part. That's my stumbling block right there. It really is.
I'm not sure it has to be a stumbling block. I think as
well, it is at night when you don't have a flashlight on.
Well, that part, you need to get more mature older, because
everybody poops. I know
at some point, not that I'm talking about sleeping on the ground, because you're in Chaloon if you sleep on the ground.
Well, so yeah, we have, when I say sleeping on the grounds,
there is no way you will sleep on the ground.
We have sleeping pads. We also have cots.
Pads are fine. Yeah. And then, but then you get into, especially out west, then you get into bear country.
Bears don't bother. Bears don't bother me. Snakes bother me.
Okay. They are more likely to get into a tent than a trailer.
I know.
And so bears, they can get inside anything. It doesn't matter.
Hence the rooftop tents. I love rooftop tents.
Yeah. I don't want to. Bears can't climb. Yes, they can.
I'm not worried about the bears. Bears don't bother me. No. Bears do not bother me.
Until they do, and then...
Well, then I'm dead.
They will bother you.
Snakes are the ones that bother me.
One thing Nick said, I'll be speaking at your funeral. Right. One thing he said is bears don't bother him.
Here are my problems, though, with rooftop tents. One, we still have two dogs that they can't climb a ladder. Right. So it can't be... And I also don't want to put it on top of the Jeep, because that's... One, it's really high. One, it's already a heavy Jeep that's just going to make it heavier. It's going to be very... It's already a sailboat, so it's going to be
more. They're not that heavy, are they, the tent units?
They're not hugely heavy, but again, you're talking about a 4xE. You're not talking about a regular Jeep. Sure. So you're already losing.
But most of your weight is low right now, the battery,
it's
right?
Middle. It's not It's right high. In the middle.
Is it?
No, because it's inside. It's not. So it's not like a Tesla. It's not like a traditional EV where the batteries are outside of the vehicle. That's actually under the back seat, because they still want you to have the clearance.
Which That's is what it, they did with the Chevy Volt when that first came out. That's where it was. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Hybrid setup.
So what and the other problem is it's so high, because again, it's a lifted Jeep, and there's a long ladder to climb, and you can't, and our dogs aren't small. They're not big, but they're not small.
Right.
So that's why I was thinking of a trailer, which is lower.
Yeah.
And you can detach, and you don't have to put it, because once you put that thing on top of the Jeep, it's there. You don't want to keep taking that off in the garage and putting it back on, taking it off. You want to just leave it there. So with the trailer, you can put everything in the trailer.
Yeah,
the Jeep can stay, and I'm using quotes, stock.
Yes.
It's not going to be stock. You're going to add lights and stuff like that. But you can leave it, and it can still be a daily driver. So that's why the trailer, but still having the rooftop tent, is appealing. And it's lower so the dogs can get in and out.
Sure. The trailer becomes a little less appealing when it has to sit outside your house.
Well, again, that's why you do actually do a trailer. Like when I'm talking like the Opus, even though the Opus has its own tent, it's a pop-up, but they make trailers that are similar to that you put a rooftop tent on.
Yep.
That's lower than the Jeep. So that can fit in the garage.
Yep.
You can park it in the garage,
but it's still towable.
Yes. Still towable.
It's a towable. Yeah. Interesting. Yep. I haven't seen enough of them. I figure if I'm going to tow something, I want hard sides. I want it stainless steel, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I want it to be, again, as long as it has the pooper in there, as long as it's got some place I can sleep and some sort of a kitchen. That's really all you need. But then I'm thinking about also a toy hauler. Do I, you get that, because I can throw the Harley in the back, and well, then suddenly you got an extra 1,000 pounds that you're pulling.
Yeah.
And so it's, which Lisa, none of this matters, because Lisa would say, oh, see, hell no.
And there's the other That's side the of rub. That. It's, it's, I'm saying this is all fine and dandy and great, but we're going out to Colorado for several things this summer, and Jen has a conference. Possibly we'll have a conference for work. And then I'm going up to my dad's, which is only 7 hours from the area we're going to be in. So my plan was, okay, when everything was working out, it's not working out the way I wanted it to, but when it was all working out, drive out to Colorado in the Jeep, bring all the camping gear, camp on the way out there, do her conference. I do my conference, and then we drive and camp to my dad's and drive and camp on the way back. And I'm all excited about this. I'm planning it all. I'm looking at spots. And then I tell Jen and Peyton, and they're like, oh, hell no. We'll drive, but we're staying in hotels. But and we're not driving this, in the Jeep.
You and I have said this before, that if one of us got a camper, it's going to be the two of us.
Yeah, exactly.
Our wives are not going to.
Well, I called Smolik, Matt Smolik, after that. Yeah. And said, hey, buddy, you want to do that with me? He also said, fuck no. But
can I get Marriott points for sleeping in a camper? No.
I'm kidding.
No, I can't.
Right. Right. So I'm looking, trying to look up. I got an email and it was about the trailers, but now I can't find it, of course, because I get hundreds of emails a day.
You're I was going to show busy,
you,
man.
But if I see one again, I'll forward it to you so you know what I'm talking about.
Cool.
They're kind of neat trailers, but
there are some really cool ones. And my favorite today, this afternoon, is the Grand Design Momentum, which is an awesome toy hauler.
Yeah.
And it's got, it's just a really nice, but it's not cheap. Those things are new around 50 grand.
So this one, this company that sent me the email, it's interesting. It's not a traditional toy hauler, but they are toy haulers. So what they do, and they're like, I think one of the cheaper ones is like $8,000. What it is it looks like a utility trailer, and you can get different sizes. It looks like a utility trailer, but they've built a box on the top of it. And you can get it with or without a tent that's built in. So they have a pop-up tent version, but the top of it is another mesh metal thing that you can put a toy on. So you can put a four-wheeler, you can put a motorcycle, you can put stuff on top of it. So it is a toy hauler, but it's a tent toy hauler.
Interesting. And speaking of that, that's another thing that Grand Design makes, and I can't think of the model number, not that it matters. They actually have the trailer, small one, in the back, and it's, you know, kitchen, the rear kitchen, and, you know, bed and bathroom and all of that. And then forward of that, where like forward of where they normally have propane tanks, is an open utility area, and that's where you load the bike or whatever you have.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. Of course, it's outside.
Right.
So, you know, if you don't want it to get wet or full of road salt or whatever when you're wherever you're going, but it's kind of an interesting setup because it keeps them completely separate, which is one of the complaints with some of the toy haulers that, you know, it's all built in with the residential area. So if you've got a gassy smell or you've got something like that coming from whatever you're hauling, it goes throughout, permeates the entire
permeates.
Cabin.
Wow.
Yes.
I just texted it to you.
Okay.
The one I'm talking about, it's called, for those of you listening, it's called Jumping Jack.
For those of you listening.
Yeah. Listening, watching, it's jumpingjacktrailers.com, not a sponsor.
We haven't been listening for 20 minutes.
No, right?
I have this on just to help me sleep.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah. And that's only one of them. That was the one that I was considering.
Oh, interesting. Jumping Jack Trailers.
Yeah. It's, again, trying to find the best of all worlds and what are people going to do.
I see what you're talking about. That is unique.
That one I sent you is not the toy hauler version. They do have one where that top rack is a toy hauler.
Okay.
That one's a little bit more expensive. This one was, what, $8,200, something like that? But it sleeps three people. It has a table. But it also doubles as a utility trailer. And that's something we've been talking about, is getting a utility trailer, because we have things that we need. We have utilities to do, to work with. So,
yes, you do.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of cool. That's a very interesting, especially if you're, it gets you up off the ground, number one. So snakes.
Snakes.
But
something we didn't really have to deal with in Minnesota. And when I say snakes, excuse me, a rat snake or a gardener snake, snake, they don't bother me. It's the poisonous ones that bother me.
That would be more concerned about those for sure.
Me too. Yeah. Yep. On that note, John, I think it's time for us to say goodbye to the one listener that might still be listening, maybe because they have it on in the background.
Several.
They just have several. But they have it playing in the background. They're not really paying attention at this point.
Hey, just because that's the way we listen to them doesn't mean that.
I'm sorry, what?
Others.
I was off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Yes. So anyway, it is that time. I do have to apologize once again for missing last week. Normally, if we have a week off, we're going to send you a previous episode, but I didn't even get that done. So I hope you can forgive me. And if you can't, oh well. We're not here for exactly. We're not here for customer service. We're here to talk to each other and talk to you.
Wow. Yes, I know. We're going to call this Potty Miles eavesdropping.
Right. Exactly.
Because that's all it is.
Exactly.
We're sorry, listeners. We're
sorry.
You.
Yeah, we do. We do very much. Have a fantastic week, everyone. Enjoy. Be safe out there. Next week, I'm sure we'll have some more travel stories. I do have some travel stories to share, but we never got to it today, and I'm sure you do as well, John. But hopefully, John, you'll be safe in your tropical depression. Don't get depressed about your tropical depression. Say hi to everyone over there for us or for me. And folks, peace.
Peace out. Cuckoo!